Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to continue tonight in our study about health in Proverbs and continue about sleep tonight. We're going to finish that topic. Yeah. What else is different? God, as I said last week, God made our bodies, but He made our bodies to live. He did not make them to die. He did not make them for sickness,
yes, sir,
nor disease. Amen. Sin brought all those things on. Now, I say that to say this. We can live healthy or sick, but you're never going to be healthy. You're never going to stop the aging process. You can say, well, I can live more healthily. Yes, you can, but that doesn't mean that you're going to live longer or better. What some people call health food is only a result of sin. Half of the vitamins and supplements that people take are made from weeds. Weeds came because of sin. And I'm not angry. You can choose to eat tree bark and drink swamp water. Have at it. I'm not going to. There are some things that some people, I don't think you ought to do something chemically. I understand that. If you don't want to, don't do it. But don't complain about somebody that does. Because the very same stuff that you take came out of the same ground that they take. It's the same thing. You say, well, one's more natural. If you want to believe it, go for it. You have to understand, though, health is something that God is not responsible for because He didn't sin, we did. He may aid us. He may help heal us from time to time. He may take some of the severity away, but He does not control all health. Does that make sense to everybody? Well, He healed people. Yes, He did, but He didn't heal everybody. You go through the scriptures, He didn't heal everybody in the scriptures. Did you ever notice? Nowhere in the Bible, and nowhere is it ever recorded anywhere in history, if you read Josephus or any of the other historians of the day, Jesus was never sick. He was never sick because He never sinned. You see, it's sin that brings sickness. It's sin that brings those things to our bodies. Now, it proves that we're all sick. Now, just because you try to live better or eat healthier or whatever doesn't mean that you're going to never be sick. At the same time, you know, you don't play Russian roulette with your health either. You know, if you got cholesterol problems, stopping at McDonald's for 3 or 4 times a week is not going to help you. If you've got sugar, eating cake 3 days a week and pie the other 4 days a week isn't going to help you. There are some things that we have to use good sense about. Just like exercising for 3 hours a day isn't good. Do you know there are people that are exercise gurus that have heart attacks? It cracks me up. Oh, live healthy, and these people have heart attacks. I know vegetarians that have cholesterol issues. You don't have to eat meat to have cholesterol issues. Some of it's just flat-out genetics, plain and simple. Now, I say that to say, of course, I've had some kidney stone issues, 9 of them. And people say, well, it must be what you eat or what you drink. I've analyzed everything I eat and drink, and none of it's on the list. It is just something that's genetic. It's about 3 or 4 generations back that I know of. It's just one of those things. And no matter what you eat or drink, you say, well, I've heard, well, you've heard a lot of things too. I've heard that if a pregnant lady drinks castor oil, that she'll have the baby faster. My wife drank 2 bottles of that stuff and it didn't do squat. She was trying to get that puppy out, and it was coming when it wanted to come. No, it wasn't. It was Jeff. And he was a whopper at 9 pounds, 2 ounces. Now, all the grease in the world wasn't going to fix it. Okay, we were trying everything. We did bumpy roads. We did the walks. We did the hills. Well, the hills, you know, it was just all in God's timing. And when it came time, he was in a hurry. 3 hours and 10 minutes later, I was holding him. And we held her off a while to get the doctor there because he didn't believe anybody. Now, I say that to say this. We all need to plan to get old. We all need to plan on probably dying. I know that sounds kind of sick, but welcome to life. I'm working on a sermon right now. I'm working with a local cemetery and place to help our church in case somebody doesn't have cemetery plots and things like that, that we can get a pretty big reduction for and begin to prepare for. You say, why? Because I think we ought to be prepared. I think it's one of those things that we ought to plan on. God talks about setting your house in order so that you can die. Now, all that to say this, we're going to talk about our health, one of which, the first topic that we started with, is the topic of sleep. We all need to do it. Some need a little more than others. Some want more than others. And some get far more than they need. And we're just going to pick up. We did the first four last week. I'm going to pick up with number 5. And turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse number 20. Now that I introduced it and everybody's mad at me, let's get God in on this thing. Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse number 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Now look at me. What's it talking about here? What's it talking about binding on your heart? Your father's commandments and your mother's law. In other words, rules and the word of God, correct? Okay. Verse 21. Bind them continually upon thy heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Here's the principle. Keeping the rules and the laws gives you better sleep. Keeping the laws and the rules gives you better sleep. I'm going to make a statement here. A child who obeys his parents or her parents better will sleep better than the child that disobeys. Guaranteed. Everybody's been through this, either as the victim or the executioner. Did you ever have to discipline a child and they go to bed crying? But boy, when they wake up, it's the best sleep they ever had. Because they had been corrected, got it fixed, and they were in an act of obedience and submission, and you just wake up refreshed, ready to hit the day again, or get hit by the day again. I mean, but a child who obeys sleeps better than a disobedient child. I didn't say that an obedient child will always sleep through the night and never have a problem, but they will sleep better because of their obedience. Okay, you ready? I'm not going to look at you when I say this. An adult who obeys the rules will sleep better at night too. Okay? That means at work. That means when you're driving. Yeah. Hurt you on that one, didn't I, Mom? An adult who obeys will sleep better. People that follow the rules have better sleep. Someone who obeys the tax laws is going to sleep better because they're not worried about the IRS banging on their door. Unless you're a politician, and then you don't worry about it. You just don't pay your taxes and you get away with it. When you sleep in obedience, you don't need to awaken to remember all the wrong things you did and how to run and avoid it. If you're running in disobedience, your mind is constantly working to try to keep you from getting caught. Therefore, your mind is not resting. I don't have to sleep long to rest my mind. But there are times I'll look at my wife and say, physically I'm fine, mentally I am just shot. I mean, it's just, I'm exhausted mentally. And I just need half hour, 45 minutes just to zone out of life. It's not necessarily sleep, but I got to give my mind some rest. You say, why is that? Because there's just so much in it. Not my mind. It's just all bouncing around in my head and I can't stop it. Obedience will lead you to rest well. Did you know President Trump sleeps fine? But I'll bet you the news media doesn't. I'll bet you Nancy Pelosi and Chuckie Schumer don't. He sleeps fine. It's the news media that gets mad because he doesn't go to bed till midnight and he's up again at 4 a.m. He's already been tweeting after they went to bed and tweeting before they get up in the morning and they can't keep up with him. He's got to get his message out. Say, well, I don't think it's very presidential of him. Name me a president that's faced the attacks he's faced.
Right.
He has no option. And he is a master of twisting their tail, let me tell you. He knows exactly what he's doing. By the time you think he's turning liberal, he turns it right back on him and he shoots him right out the snot locker, buddy. He just lets it fly. I told my wife on this last one, don't worry, he's not backing up. I said, he's like a snake. He's coiled up. I said, he's reaching back so he can strike. I said, you see this, I see this. And sure enough, he came out with fangs on last night, didn't he? He said more in 9 minutes than the liberals have said in the last 9 weeks. And he was dead on. And everybody's saying, well, he's quoting wrong facts. Folks, how can you quote wrong facts? Facts are facts. Just because you don't agree with the facts doesn't mean they're wrong. So, President Trump sleeps fine. You say, why? Because he's trying to help America do right. And by the way, have you noticed? China has come to the table in trade talks. They volunteered. Say, why? Because Trump knows how to negotiate. I love what he did this afternoon. He called Pelosi and Schumer and some of the other Democrats to the White House to meet about the border wall. Walked into the White House meeting room, sat down in the room, he looked at them and said, are you willing to negotiate about the wall? Nancy Pelosi said, no, we're not, Mr. President. And he stood up and he walked out of the meeting. He said, no sense in wasting your time or mine. And he walked out. You say, what was that? That was rude. No, that's called being a leader. Thank God he's got enough manhood and leadership in him to tell that nasty old hag what to do.
Amen.
And he's shrewd. He talked about walls. He said some of our liberal leaders have walls around their homes. It's not because they hate everybody. They just love the ones on inside. He said, I love all of America and I want to keep it safe.
Amen.
He was shooting holes in it. So, sleep comes better when you obey the rules. If you want to sleep better, obey better. Number next. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Got to hurry. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse number 5. Oh, this is a good one. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. We are not to sleep instead of work. We are not to sleep instead of work. Folks, when you gather in summer and you sleep in harvest, the harvest time is when you ought to be working the hardest in some ways. Not only do you got to bring it in out of the fields, but you got to put it up. You got to get it ready to store and to last through the winter and into the long time of the season. Children need to learn to work age appropriately, but they need to realize they're not slaves either. You know, God doesn't give you children because he wants you to have slaves. I'm for working people, but not being a slave driver. I told the young people I'll probably have some work for them to help with youth conference. But it may not be till they get back, because I'm going to help them. I'm going to get some of these young people to help us with the work for the new building, getting some things moved, things cleaned up, that type of thing. And if they need help earning some money, we'll work them. But they're not going to be slave drivers. Every time we have a project, I'm not going to call all the teenagers together to come do it. Everybody doing all right? School is a child's main work. By the time they hit school, school ought to be their work. You want to teach a child work ethic, teach them to have a good work ethic at school. Whether they're homeschooled or church schooled or public schooled, their schoolwork is their work. I was involved in Christian education for over 20 years. I used to tell students all the time, if you got paid by how you do your schoolwork, most of you would starve to death. And yet your pay is based off of what you do with your education. I'm for that, just so you know. I'm for teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, and math, and history. The facts, not the rewritten stuff. So school is a child's main work, but chores are important in training a child to work. Whether it's cleaning their room or cleaning different parts of the house, whether it be some parts of the yard work, my boys, from the time they were about 5 years old, they helped me mow. That's why there's two handles on a lawnmower, one for the little guy, one for the bigger guy. And we would push. Before too long, they were pushing a little more, and I was pushing a little less. At first, I did it all. They're just walking and holding on. I'm teaching them to keep the feet out from underneath it and not chop the feet off. Then they turn 18, and you got to teach them to keep their fingers out of the blade so they don't cut them off. But we won't go there. But eventually, they grew to where they could grab that upper bar. So then there's two of us holding that one. And then they were pushing it well enough, I would just kind of walk behind them, guide them a little bit. Teach them how to keep the row straight and teach them some things about making sure that it looked right all the way around and how to trim in with the mower and do this around this. And before too long, I was standing there watching them. Before much longer after that, I was in the house doing other things while they're mowing. Say, what was that? That was their chores. There was wood to get. There was snow to shovel. There was work in the garden to do. Whatever it is, they need chores. They need responsibility. I'm going to tell you something. Children with no responsibility get in trouble. Young people thrive on responsibility. A boy will thrive on responsibility. Not necessarily hard physical labor work, but responsibility. They just need the responsibility of doing something. You see, the more responsibility you place on them, the more they grow. I got to tell this story. Of course, when my oldest graduated from high school, the very next day they had graduation parties, and my wife broke her ankle that day as we were headed to the graduation party. She stepped off the front step of our porch, and the ankle went this way while she went this way, and it went snap, crackle, pop, and we went to the hospital. We never did make it to his graduation party. We made it to the emergency room. That was it. Now, my daughter was about 10 years old. You know that for the next couple weeks, she took care of breakfast, lunch, and supper for everybody? At the age of 10. Now, Mom was able to sit there and watch and guide, but a 10-year-old was able to care for the meals for a family of five. She started student teaching this week at college. Of course, she was nervous, and I knew she would do fine. She's grown up in education, and Mom being a teacher and everything else. And she happens to know the teacher for whom she is student teaching with right now. And she has a student, and this student is a bit obstinate, bit of an attitude, bit of a know-it-all. And she spent the morning in that class and looked at her teacher and said, "Who does that student remind you of?" She said, "I don't know. Mindy, who does it remind you of?" She said, "Me." She said, "I know right where that girl's." She said, "I got that chick's number." I said, "Isn't it scary when you see yourself in somebody else?" She said, "Oh, Dad, that was horrible." She said, "I know exactly how to work with this girl." I said, good, maybe God sent you there just for that young lady. And it got a hold of her. She was dreading being in that classroom with that student. Now she got a burden for it because she saw herself in it. It was great. I say that to say this. Work is a way to teach life skills. Work isn't to get a job done. It's to teach life. You know the old adage, you give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll eat the rest of his life. Work teaches the value of earning over the value of having. Too many people have, but they don't earn. Welfare are people that have. There are those that earn, and they understand the value of it. Young people need to learn how to struggle in their finances. They don't need everything handed to them. They need to know what it means to go without. They need to know what it means to lift the cushions on the car seat to try to find a couple extra coins to pay something. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And digging in the couch and the chair and everywhere else you can find change, amen? Looking in every phone booth. They don't have those anymore. Come on, be honest. How many of you have ever done that before? Uh-huh. Yeah, buddy. Brother Hiles said that he used to go to the O'Hare Field and he'd take a pocket full of quarters with him and he'd love to go to the payphones and just fill those things and watch people walk by and go like they won the slot machine or something. He said it was fun just to watch people get those things. Now, wait a minute. Work teaches you the value of earning something over the value of just having something. Teaching young people when to work is important. Work sometimes has to replace play. Notice the Bible says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest. Sometimes you got to give up play to work. By the way, I don't think they ought to work and no play. But they ought to work before they play. Sometimes it comes when you want to do other things. There are times I have to work when I'd rather be doing something else. Hunting season, amen? I still have work that needs done. Now, I might play a little during hunting season. It's actually work. The play is very short in hunting. The rest of it's all work. But you might have to give up some of that in order to get the work done. Sometimes you just have to get it done. That means getting up early or staying up late. There are some times you got to, I used to tell my boys, we got a lot to get done. We're going to get up early in the morning. Dad define early. I'm going to get up normal. You're going to get up with Dad. Oh, Dad, that's way too early. Now, when Dad said it's time to get up early, that's about time when most people go to bed. There were just times I would have to get up extra early and get something done. Or I'd have to stay up extra late to get something done. Work is not something you should need forced to do, but you learn to do it by being forced to do it. As you mature, you shouldn't be forced to work. But you get there by being forced to work when you didn't want to do it. That tink of the time clock. That forces you to be to work on time. Them saying, look, if you're late, you're going to get your pay docked or you're going to get fired. That forces you to work. There are things that force you to do it to where you do it because you want to do it, not because you're forced to do it. Does that make sense to everybody? Boy, that's so good. And I have so much more, but I got to hurry up. Number 8, Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, let's look at verse number 15. This one's where some of you are going to get mad at me. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Lazy people are always tired. Lazy people are always tired. Okay. Everybody listen to this statement. Busy people are tired too. They just don't tell everybody. When's the last time you heard President Trump sit, get in front of the national people and say, "Well, I'm just so tired"? When's the last time you saw a very successful CEO get up in front of all of his employees and say, "You know what? I'm just so tired"? Successful people are probably more tired than lazy people. Lazy people talk about being tired. Successful people talk about the next job they're going to do. You see, slothfulness, the Bible says, casteth into a deep sleep. In other words, you get stuck in this routine of sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep. And all you do is live for sleep. Everybody doing okay? The lazier or the slower you are, the more your body will want to sleep. This happens to every college student I've ever seen. Christmas break, they always get sick. Spring break, they always get sick. It's push, 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 push. And all of a sudden, their schedule slows down. And they're dead tired, wore out, and they start sleeping. And then their resistance is down, and they didn't know it, and they end up getting sick. The worst thing you can do is take a break when you're pushing like that. You got to just kind of keep your schedule going. Laziness itself creates a desire for sleep. Now, laziness talks about wanting to sleep. It does not talk about producing work. The word slothful is a very interesting word. There's an animal called a sloth. They're very slow. Have you ever seen a move? Yeah. Yeah. They just move really slow. And what a wonderful terminology for a lazy person. It's like everything's in really slow motion. They can't do anything quickly. The only thing they can do quickly is go to sleep. See, lazy people work slow and produce, but they produce less and they don't get as much done. They complain about too much work. Did you know that productive people don't complain about producing? People who are successful don't complain about success. It's the people who don't produce that complain about success. When I worked in the machine shop, my supervisor would often, probably every 3 or 4 weeks, he would have to come over to me and say, "Craig, I need you to slow down tonight." "Why?" He said, "Everybody on day shift's mad at you." I said, "Why?" He said, "You outproduced them on 3 machines last night. They had 3 people running, 1 person running each of those machines. You ran all 3 yourself and outproduced them by 60% yourself on each machine." He said, "They're not real happy with you." I said, "That's their problem. Make them work." "Well, you don't understand. You can't do that on day shift." I said, "Put me on day shift. I'll prove you can. You know, I broke my own records on day shift too." Anyway, that really made him mad. It is what it is. Lazy people complain about those things. If I got to work and somebody was even close to my parts count, that was a challenge to just outproduce that night. There were times my boss would give me extra things to do to try to slow me down, and I kept my same pace as the night before, and I got the other stuff done. I got called in for review. That's the word I was looking for. And the day shift manager, boss, was the one doing my review. And he was trying to chew me out for inconsistent parts counts. And I let him talk for about 15, 20 minutes. I said, "You done, Jim?" He said, "Yeah, why?" I said, "I'd like you to review my numbers." I said, "How about you pull up the numbers, but pull up the hours as well, the man hours as well as the part numbers?" I said, and I want you to bring up the same day what was done on day shift. I said, okay, I produced 376 parts on Monday. I only produced 300 parts on Tuesday. I said, but if you look on Monday, I had 4 man hours. On Tuesday, I had 2 man hours. I said, I ran 3 machines on Tuesday. I only ran 2 machines on Monday. I said, let's pull up day shifts numbers. Well, that won't matter. I said, pull up day shifts numbers. And they were running 210, 220, 215. I said, I have 50% over what they produced on even on my worst night. And I was running 2 and 3 machines. That was the only machine. They have 8 hours on that one machine. That's it. And I said, I deburred their parts on top of deburring my parts. I said, you want to complain about inconsistencies? We did a second review later. And we got things straightened out. Laziness doesn't like production. Lazy people talk about always being tired. Successful people don't talk about being tired. All right, Proverbs chapter 20. They do talk about it at home when they really are allowed to, though. Got to cover myself on that one. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse number 13. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. God tells us here, don't love sleep. Don't love sleep. People who love sleep do not love work. You can't love both. If you love weeds, you don't like flowers. You can't love flowers without hating weeds. You can't love success and sleep. You have to pick one. My wife will tell you, I hate to sleep. I have too much to do in life. I want to get done. I hate to sleep. If you sleep 8 hours a day, every day of your life, 1/3 of your life has been slept away. If you live 60 years, you slept 20. Now think about that. That means you only lived 40. If you lived, that's a sad thought. If you sleep 6 hours a day, that's 25% of your life. If you sleep 6 hours a day and you live 75 years, you slept 25 years. That means you really only lived 50 years. I don't know about you, I want to get out of everything I can out of it. People, well, let me say this. You can't love success and sleep. Brother Roloff used to say this. You work 9 to 5, you become a success from 5 to 9. You work 9 to 5, but you become a success from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. What do you do before work? What do you do after work? That's when you become successful. Boy, that's good stuff right there. People who love success are content with bread. Those who love sleep want things beyond their means. People who love sleep want the luxury, but they don't want to pay the price to have it. They want it, but they don't want to work to get it. They just want it given to them. Let me say this, and I'll close this whole thing and be done. The human body needs sleep. I get it. We can condition the body and push it to do more. Very few people need more than 6 or 7 hours sleep. Seriously. Biological proven fact. Very few people need more than 6 or 7 hours. For years, people, oh, you've got to have 8 hours rest. That's rarely true. Did you know you can condition your body to any amount of... I tried something once. It didn't work so well. Tried sleeping for about 2 hours a day. But you would sleep in 30-minute increments 4 times a day. Man, I got a lot done for a couple of weeks, but when the body crashed, it was over. I don't suggest doing that. The body will rest better if it has a schedule by which it goes. It's like training anything. It takes a lot of the same repetition to get your body used to it. I I rarely set an alarm. My body wakes up at the time I need it to wake up. It really does. I can go to bed, tell the Lord, if I want to get up at 4:30 tomorrow morning, say, Lord, I need to be awake by 4:30 tomorrow morning. I'll set an alarm if it's 3:30 or something like that, that I got to get up. But most of the time, my wife will tell you, it's very rare that I ever have an alarm go off. Okay, Lord, I need to get up at this time. Wake me up. Boom. And I'll wake up before the alarm. It makes my wife mad because I'll wake up every hour on the hour waiting to, okay, is it time to get up yet? Oh, I got to go back to sleep for another 2 hours. Is it time yet? Oh, it's only been an hour. I'll wake up every hour waiting to get up. Say why? Because I want to get up and get it going. This doesn't mean you set an alarm and go to bed. And then you set another alarm and another alarm and another alarm. When the alarm goes off, get up. Not the third or the fourth or the fifth or the sixth one. Obey it the first time. Why do you want to wake up three or four times before you get up anyway? That doesn't make sense. It is the best. I must have stepped on a bunch on that one. I'm not looking. It is best to sleep in the dark hours of the night. Biologically speaking, now listen to me. I've talked to doctors about this. I've talked to a lot of experts about this. The best hours for sleep are between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. Your body will rest more secure, more soundly, and more solidly from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. than any other time of the 24-hour period. Period. End of discussion. That means you ought to get to bed. Now, you can sleep outside of that, but you're not going to feel as rested. If you stay up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and then sleep till 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to feel as rested as if you got to bed by 11 and got up at 5. Same amount of sleep. But God made the night and the dark night in which to sleep. Everybody doing all right? That's why God said, the night cometh when no man can work. What are you supposed to do in the night? Sleep. So it's best to sleep in the dark hours of the night. Well, I'm just a night person. Train your body elsewise. Try not to stay up late. Get to bed and get up earlier. It will give you a more successful day. Let me say this. It's not spiritual to go without sleep. Just because you don't sleep as much as somebody else doesn't make you spiritual. Just because you get up before somebody else gets up does not make you spiritual. Everybody understand that? In Bible college, guys used to think they were spiritual because they got up before somebody else. I got home from work at 1 o'clock in the morning from working. I would usually sleep till about 5:30, quarter to 6 every morning. While I was in college, I got about 4.5 hours of sleep. And I would get up at 5:30, quarter to 6, start the day all over, took an entire full load plus sometimes 21 hours of class. I was a Bible club leader. I had two Bible clubs for about 1.5, 2 years and preached twice on Saturday. I had about 30 to 40 workers that were directly underneath me and then helped oversee another 100 or so workers. Ran a bus route. I was an assistant Bible club director. I taught in D Sunday school, worked with D teenagers on Sunday. I was averaging preaching or teaching 3 or 4 times a week, as well as 21 hours of class, as well as working 40 hours, driving an hour to work and driving an hour home from work, and getting all my work done. Try doing that and then start dating. I fell asleep on dates. I'm not lying. It's a wonder the woman ever married me, but she knew I was tired from work, not because I was lazy. Can I tell you something? You're not spiritual because you don't sleep. That doesn't make you spiritual. If you get up before me, God bless you. Amen, Brother Wiley. There are days, many days, he gets up before I do. That's fine. But I don't go to bed with the chickens at 7 either. And that's all right. But may I say this? That doesn't make you spiritual, but I will tell you, if you'll sleep in those dark hours, your body will respond much better. When people come to me and they're just all physically wrung out, one of the first questions I ask them is, what hours do you sleep? Well, I usually get to bed about 2 or 3 in the morning and sleep till 7 or 8 in the morning. Oh, there's your problem. How about you go to bed at 11 and get up at 5 or 6? If you'll train your body to do it, you'll feel better. You'd be surprised how many people's lives physically have changed because of that. God made your body to... Working midnights is not normal. It goes against the natural body rhythm and clock. Now, I got a boy that does it, and he loves it. He's nuts. And it'll catch up to him in a couple years, trust me. He'll get tired of it real soon. And by the time he hits 30, it's all over. Because it just kind of starts slowing a little bit at 30, and he's going to say, I don't like the midnight hours anymore. All right. But he's enjoying them now. That's all right. But not me. I can drive day and night, all night long, but from about 3 to 5 in the morning, buddy, that's the hardest time to drive through the night.
Ugh.
It's just 3 to 5 a.m. is just those 2 hours. If I got somebody to keep me awake, I can do it. If not, pull off and just sleep. Or if I can get 2 or 3 hours before then and get up and at that hour and go, I'm fine. But learn to rest. God tells us in Proverbs about sleep. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Sleep is important. Our body needs it. It's part of our physical health, part of our mental health, part of our spiritual health. We've got to have it, but we don't probably need it as much, and God gives us a recipe on it as